Okay, this meeting of the Beauregard Parish Control Board is called to order. And I'll have a roll call tonight. It will start with, I'll start right here and go around. We'll just say our name and that way it'll be recorded. Angela Lamb.
Lynn Boggs.
Joe Blankenship.
Tranquil Crosby.
Bridget Sonya.
Molly Poe.
Beth Cuevas.
Calvin Biden.
Thank you very much. I look around and I do not see any public participation at this time. Is Mr. Brusette coming?
He never responded to my reminder, so I honestly don't know. But if he doesn't, the bare minimum of what you need to know is we have started re-advertising the East Beauregard project. It started in last Friday's Beauregard Daily News. So it will be run last Friday, this Friday, February 10th, the following Friday, February 17th, in the Beauregard News. We're having a pre-bid conference here on February 15th at 3:30. And bids must be submitted to be opened at the police jury office by 3:30. The opening will be at 3:30, March 2nd.
Okay, thank you. I need to know if we have any amendments to the agenda.
None from me. I think even if those of you who need to leave early do before we get to all of the things that need to be voted on, we'll still have a quorum, so we should be okay.
Great. Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to approve or amend the minutes from November 7th and December 13th of 2022.
I so move.
I have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Anyone opposed? Thank you very much. All right, we have announcements and reminders. Go for it.
All right. In your packet, there are links to the mandatory trainings we have to do every year. I know you all love it, but I don't make the rules. Okay, so we've got the ethics training that we have to do every year. At that link across the top, there are tabs. There are several different kinds of trainings available from the Ethics Commission. You guys have the option to do either the training for public servants or the training for board members. Either one will work. You do not have to do both of them. Just please send me the certificate after you do it. Then at the second link that is on there, there are multiple types of trainings there. The two you absolutely have to do are Preventing Sexual Harassment 2023 and Preventing Sexual Harassment 2023 for supervisors. There is a new revised statute that says each agency head has to look at his or her own agency and figure out who has to take the cybersecurity training every year. I've looked at the training. I don't think you guys need to do that. If you had, you all have the option of having an email address that's at bo.org, but even if you do have that, y'all's would be on the patron network, not the staff network, so I don't think y'all need to do this training. You're welcome to if you want to, but if you want to skip the cybersecurity training, go for it. Don't skip the two on preventing sexual harassment. And I am asking, the law says you've got the calendar year. If you can get it done before October and get those certificates to me, it would be a huge help, because I need to send a copy over to the police jury office so when they go through their audits, they aren't calling me asking where they are. So they ask that we do that before October. So if that's at all possible for you, please put that in your calendars and get that done.
I will make my usual request on the mandatory financial disclosure, I think is where they ask when we were brought on board. Mm-hmm. Would you mind having somebody send that out?
Sure thing.
So that everybody will know what theirs is.
I think that's somewhere in the
back. Yeah,
it's on the back page.
I know I've got your expiration date on it. Did it have your start dates too?
Well, it has expiration date. Is that not what it says?
I think it does ask for start as well, though, so I'll need to send that out to you. But I should have an email with that somewhere, so I can just send that. But yes, I will make a note to myself to do that. And there is a printout of the financial disclosure form that this board uses. If you are on multiple boards, you don't have to fill out the financial disclosure twice in 1 year, but like with Kelly being on the police jury, that jury board has a higher level tier form that they filled out, so she would need to fill that one out and then discard this one. So if you're on multiple boards, you might need to figure out which one is the higher one that you need to fill out. You can submit it yourself. There's instructions on how to submit it, and I think now you can just email it into them, scan it and email it. If you do that, which is totally fine, please CC me so that if they come back in 5 years and say, hey, where did you leave Schedule A, which they have done before, and you can't find it, I've got a shot at helping you. So that's something to consider.
What's your deadline for mailing it in?
If you want to mail it in with me, please get it to me by May 8th.
Okay.
It is due to the state by May 15th.
All of us need to do this one too?
The financial disclosure, yes.
Sorry.
If you're unsure on it, the number, there's a number that you can call. They're very helpful. So we have to do these regularly, and sometimes some of the questions get kind of confusing. And if you call, they'll walk you right through it.
Okay, ready for old business?
I think so.
So this is the final amendment for the fiscal year 2022.
Yes. Excuse me. So every year we have to go through and do a final amendment of our budget. There is a revised statute, Title 39, that goes through and says any item in your budget that has a variance between budgeted and actual of 5% or greater, you have to do an amendment on. So that's what we do at our February meeting for the previous year. So we get it done, obviously, after the year is over and before our auditor comes in. So we've got an overview in your packet, and everything that's in yellow has 5% or more variance and needs to be amended. Then we go into the proposed amendments on each of those lines. That's on page 7, revenues, the detailed view, proposing we amend the ad valorem to $2,462,713. And it goes through amending or proposing that we amend to the actual number on all of the revenues. Then we move into the annual expenditures, followed by the dedicated expenditures. On these, whenever there is something left in there, in that line that we need to amend, I propose where we move it. So most of those proposals are going into the building and asset repair and replacement fund, which, as you can tell by the name, encompasses a lot, so we can use that money more readily whenever something comes up. The personnel expenditures was under, not by enough to, not by the 5%, but I still wanted to make it come out right. So proposing using some of the overage from operational services to make up that difference. And then the rest of the operational services overage going into, like I said, the BARR fund. I can go through and, oh, there was one other thing I did want to mention. Another thing that I did on these, for the equipment and furnishings and the training, travel, and education line items, if I can call that category line item, I am proposing that we move those remaining funds into the East Bow CapEx. We can do that, or we can put it in BARR, whatever the board wants. But considering how many times we have gone out for bid and how many issues we're having with it, I figure put a little more money in there. It can't hurt if we've got the money sitting there anyway. But if the board feels differently, of course, that's the board's decision. So those go through line by line. If you want to see a more top-down look at the overview, pages 10 and 11 have that summary view for you. So page 10 shows, if we take all of those proposals I have made, what the 2022 budget would look like. And then section B on page 11, top of page 11, shows you what those implications would be for the 2023 budget.
I'll entertain a motion on these adjustments to the year-end figures.
Second.
I need a
motion.
I have a motion in the triangle. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. All right, then our new business. No, we still have some old business.
Yeah, a little more old business.
Yeah. West Central Cooperative Endeavor.
Those of you who were on the board last summer may remember that we approved a Cooperative Endeavor agreement with the Sheriff's Office to see about letting them use that back second building at the new West Central branch as a part-time office for their deputies in the area and that sort of thing, if they need to do an interview or any of that sort of thing. I ran into the sheriff, I think on my way back from Rotary one day. So we were talking in the parking lot and I'm like, hey, whatever happened to that Cooperative Endeavor agreement that I sent you months ago? And he's like, oh yeah, as we all know, he's been a little busy with the jail situation, but he did get on that and get it approved. They have started moving in some office supplies and they're very excited. I met some of the deputies out there to just kind of open it up, show them around. Tell them these are the common error areas we're happy to share with you. This will be your designated area. If you need to put a lock on the door, that's fine, that sort of thing. They were over the moon. I mean, it's when this building was a house, it was just a corner bedroom. It's not a very big room. I was just thinking it's a room, it'll make do. But they were so excited. It was like I was giving them a palace. So very excited about that.
It's nice.
It is a nice place. It really is.
So they're not going to have somebody there every
it's
day?
It's not manned all the time.
Okay.
Not even every day. They are putting, as far as I know, it hasn't gone up yet, but they are going to put a little sign up underneath ours out at the road and one kind of at the porch of that back building so people know it's that building they need to go to if they're looking for the deputies. I think it'll be really good for the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for us.
Yes.
I'm happy about it. Really happy to have them there.
Well, I mean, at the worst, people would be thinking, oh, there might be a deputy there. Let's not go vandalize that, you know, whatever.
So I think that's going to be a very good thing. And it seems like they're very excited about it, too.
All right, the anniversary wrap-up.
Yes, so in your packets, I hope you guys had time to read it after you got it. Julie wrote up a nice little report of all the different activities we had throughout the year leading up to our 75th anniversary, some of the stats for all of those different events, and then talked about the celebration itself. And I think she has it in here, and I want to reiterate how grateful we are to the committee that worked on that project. That was a long project. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of mental work. So really appreciate the time and effort that everyone put into it. I think the whole year went really well. I think the celebration event was a big success. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. We had a pretty good turnout. I think we know we didn't get a count of absolutely everyone. I think our count was around 135. We're estimating there were about 145 to 150 who were actually there that night. So really good turnout for a cold night in December.
With a lot of other things going on.
With a lot of other things going on. So
I don't know about Beth, but I will say, you know, I showed up for the meetings, but it was really staff that did all the work.
Yeah, so they worked hard.
They worked hard.
They really did.
Hard. They really dug and found some, and they were very budget conscious, you know, try to make it nice, try to make it elegant, but very budget conscious at the same time.
Great.
Yeah. Did a good job.
And I would, for the record, I think I've said it before, but I want to say it again. The DeRidder Study Club has been a huge part of this library since before its inception. We're really here because of the drive they had to bring us here. And they continue to support us and gave us, I've got the number here somewhere, $595? Yes, a donation of $595 for the event, the capstone event for our anniversary. And I think it was 100 of that came from the club itself, and the rest were the individual members donating. So we really appreciate that continued support. That was really heartwarming for us.
And in fact, it was one of their members that was whose brain I picked to try to put the little menu together.
Oh, good.
And who lent us one of the chafing dishes that we were using.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of chafing dishes in that group.
It happens that the two that I borrowed match.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, where are we? We are at any other Stella. That's still all the. Yeah. It's all of that. Yeah, Boral Guard Courtesy wouldn't take any money for their performance that night. We try to give them a check and they wouldn't take it. Okay, so we're in new business then, huh?
Yeah. Okay, so we've got system goals. Just wanted to share with you guys some of my thoughts for what I want to work on this year. You will notice Get East Beauregard Built and Open is very close to the top. We're also working on getting succession plans in place. You guys know we've had a couple of staff members come up with some health issues that have kind of shaken up how things are running in the day-to-day. And it's been kind of on the back burner for a while to get those succession plans in place, but this kind of was the kick in the pants we needed to get it going. So we're working on having those a little more buttoned down than we have in the past, starting with the senior staff members. My goal is to have a succession plan in place for the senior staff members by the end of this year. Once we do that, we'll start working on the rest of the staff so we can have something in place for all of them.
So what do you envision if you have a succession plan? I mean, I've never heard of that before for a business. So you were saying who would pick up their duties until a full-time person were hired, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very heavily, the starting process looks pretty heavily at a job description for said person, and whose existing skills and duties mesh with them, so they might be able to take over this temporarily while we are determining if this is a short-term thing where that's all we're doing, or is this a long-term thing we need to start looking for someone to hire.
I've been involved with succession plans, and part of it also is training. If someone is the only person that knows how to do something, right, make sure that there's others that are trained to do that job.
Right.
And more so to practice it, you know, every quarter or some period of time, go in and do it so that they really.
I mean, all plans happen for all.
Yeah, they really are hands on being able to do it.
So, a couple of the other things, I'm not going to read all of these to you, but a couple of the other things I wanted to mention. The Maryville lease renewal. I haven't got the new lease yet. It expires in April, but I don't know the exact date off the top of my head. I reached out to Maryville Town Council towards the end of last year and again this morning with a reminder that this is coming up, and if there's anything I can do, let me know, blah, blah, blah. When I do get that, I will need board approval before I can sign it. If it expires in April, that's before our next regular meeting, so we will have a special meeting at some point. Just wanted to put that bug in your ear, and I'll let you know when I hear more from them.
So we wouldn't vote on it tonight without you seeing what it was?
Not without seeing what it was, because I don't know if they're wanting to raise the rent or the terms or anything like that. As far as the Library of Things collection, we kind of already have one of those, but I want to expand it. We do circulate hotspots and laptops and things like that, and those aren't things, so it's a Library of Things. We're actually applying right now. Keep Louisiana Beautiful has a program going with a lot of the libraries in the state where they are offering to provide some supplies that families or groups can check out and go pick up litter for a morning or whatever. So we're applying for that. I think, if I remember correctly, pretty much if you apply, you're gonna get it. It's not a money thing, it's a we'll send you some supplies kind of thing. So I believe that's more or less a shoo-in, if I remember correctly.
Trash bags and reflector vests.
And little pick things, and something like that. But this is the second or third time that has come up. Last year sometime, Janet over at the City Hall was telling me about Keep Louisiana Beautiful wanting to work with libraries and would I be interested whenever they actually got something going. And of course I said yes. And then starting about a month ago, apparently it got off the ground enough that the state library started sharing information with us. So we got the application and that sort of thing. And Janet reached out again this morning. Hey, here's the link. I'm like, I know, we're applying. So they're very much on board once we get that and have it in hand and have our timelines planned out to help us spread the word that that's available. And I could see some of the civic groups, maybe some of the church groups, using this as a service project. Or maybe.
Are you trying to align it with like the Trash Bash Day? Because the parish is, we've got one coming up.
That's usually May, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't
sure
thought that
day.
Far ahead, but yes, let's.
Because we do stuff with the school.
Okay.
Schools.
There's definitely partnership possibilities there then. So that's what we've
got. Does this include stuff like the seed project, the seed exchange?
Yes.
It's a thing.
It is. We do have the seeds. We've done traveling seed library before, which is more collection, so that kind of falls into it. But we've noticed that having an event, a seed exchange event, gets a lot more attention than a seed library. And that could just be because it needs a couple years to do something, and since it's a traveling exhibit, it's harder to pinpoint, I always go here at this time to. Mm-hmm. So yes, seeds do count. So far we've hit that harder as a program than a collection.
Gotcha.
But I did notice, y'all may remember, Julie did a survey to the public most of the last quarter of 2022. Asking what formats of material they prefer so that we're ordering what people will actually check out. And on it, it was asking, is there anything else you would like to check out from your library? The number of people who want sewing machines is higher than I thought.
That's interesting.
But I want to do it. But I don't know anything about sewing machines. And I don't know, do you send bobbins with it? Do you send, what do you send with it?
They don't have
Same bobbin.
Not all sewing machines use the same bobbin.
Right.
And needles, so you'd have to have the right needle.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy a little sewing kit.
But they could provide their own thread.
So I.
There's your expert.
Yeah, we may be calling you.
What we used to, very basic. What we used to buy for the classrooms, something really durable and.
But not too heavy. Mine is so heavy that I have trouble lifting it up on the counter.
Right.
So, but you don't want it so lightweight in the.
So it's.
We need a case.
You need a case?
Just come with a carrying case.
Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff to look into on that one, but I think that's another interesting possibility of a.
Well, you could always start with one, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What about a wetback? I can see, especially during hurricane time, that, you know, check out a wetback to.
Maybe so.
You know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Something I had thought about, I know they do in Calcasieu, is cake pans.
Cake pans.
You know, and nowadays, I don't know how much a cake is.
A lot.
I know a lot, you probably, you know, you go to Walmart and it's probably $30 or $40, but you know, things are tight. If a mom could come in and borrow a cake pan and.
It's shaped like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, something like that, you could, you know, it would be.
And they only usually need that cake pan once.
Exactly.
So you don't wanna buy it.
I can donate cookie cutters.
Awesome.
I have a profusion of cookie cutters that I'd love to get rid of.
I think the cake pans would be a great idea.
Yeah.
I go and look. I have never checked one of them out, but I like to go look at them.
I do too.
Okay, how would you display them? Or would you have pictures of them in a book and have them stored in the bag? Somebody said, I want the whatever.
Possibly.
Being on display is better though.
Yeah.
Seeing it in person. You'd be like, oh, we can get a cake pan.
The Calcasieu Library has them in great big plastic, kind of like Ziploc bags.
Uh-huh. And
then
they hang
on a rail. Sort of a, like in a, on a clip hangers and on a rail, and so you can go through and look at them. Okay.
Had the four daughters, we checked them out, just because we did not go in there for a cake pan, but they saw it, and they're like, oh, like a summer project, something like, can we get this to make this special cake? I just think of if people see it, you're gonna check it out, because they probably don't even know you have it.
Right.
Yeah, visual to me is everything.
It really is. We're running into that, trying something new now with the launch pads we've had for several years now, which are like the tablets that have dedicated educational games on them, and it's dedicated for a certain age group, and it's all planes, trains, and automobiles, or it's all math, or it's all, you know, whatever. And so what we were doing, so that they didn't walk off, was we just had laminated the info sheets on each of them, and you could flip through and figure out which one you want, take it up, we'll give you the thing, you can check it out. Well, nobody does that. So now we are putting the empty boxes that hold the launch pads out so that people can just bring the box up and then we'll stick the thing in it. We've only been doing that for a few, maybe not even a full week yet. So we'll see how that's going, but so far it looks like it's better. Working. So
our
yes.
iPads, like we had in the elementary, we actually had like a key lock that went around them, and when the kids wanted to check them out for the classroom, we just unlocked them. Because when the kids see the display of that iPad sitting there, they couldn't wait. I mean, I know that'd be kind of a pain to go unlock it.
Well, there's so many of them.
Yeah, probably a ton.
Yeah.
Do they still check out pretty frequently?
Well, we're hoping to bump it up now.
Bump it up more with the display.
Because it's not, there are some for adults too. It's not just for kids.
Yeah. Do you have a few out where they could mess with them before they checked them out?
Not right now, no.
And like a sign that said, if these are available to check out?
No, we don't have it
like
right now.
Like they have a store where they're chained.
Yeah,
to
that's how ours was. Yeah. It was like a metal cord with a little key lock, and it went around the base of it so they couldn't walk off with it. But they would play with it, and that's what made them want it.
Yeah.
Because I think most people are visual. They really are.
definitely.
And I just know the books,
just the bookshelf stuff with a row of so many.
I can even see the links that came with the cases.
Please do.
And the locks.
Yes.
And I mean, I just kept them on my, you know,
mm-hmm.
the little special
the little
key.
Linear thing.
Yeah. And I would go unlock it.
Yeah.
And check it out.
Yeah, if you've got a link, send it to me, please.
Okay. It was on Amazon.
Even better. All right, do we want to move on to the next one?
So the approval of the auditor.
Yes, we need to approve the auditor and the compliance questionnaire. So we've been working for several years now with Christy Fugelier and is the auditor, but the company she works for, Calder Slavin and Company. That relationship has probably been the easiest communication wise relationship we've had with an auditor since I've been working here. So we are certainly wanting to continue that. They do things as efficiently as I think could possibly be done. They're modern as opposed to some previous auditors from the way back. Of course, at that time, it might not have been a possibility, but they are very much in favor of, if this is something you can scan and send to me through our secure portal, do it. So I don't have to drive to you and spend time in your office going through this. So, you know, we're happy to do that where it makes sense. That's been going really well. I find it, and more importantly, my staff finds it very easy to talk to them. And if they ask you something in auditor speak that you don't understand, they're good about turning it into lay terms for you. So that
your price is in line with other auditors.
This year I have not reached out to others. Their estimate or quote for the audit has gone up 500 since last year, considering how much everything else has gone up. I think that's reasonable. And then the SAUP estimate, they give me a range because they never know from year to year what they're walking into. Especially this year, there have been quite a few changes on what the statewide agreed upon procedures looks like. So I don't know what they're walking into either. But yes, their range, $2,900 through $4,700 for the SAUP. Last year's actual was almost smack dab in the middle of that at $3,900. So I think that is in line with what should be expected there too.
Well, I move that we approve to use this firm for both our audit and our second.
I have a motion to approve the use of the Calder Slavin audit firm. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Where are they located at?
Their home office is Ville Platte. I think they've got a one or two satellite offices. And then, did you guys get a chance to look at the compliance questionnaire that was at the back of your packet? Because we do need an approval of that as well.
Is that an answer?
So what we need to approve, the form? The answers?
The answers.
The form as completed?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's from them?
I filled that out.
But it's their form?
It's a form from the Legislative Auditor's Office that everyone has to fill out every year.
And what is it? What is this telling us? Your questions.
Okay, so we've got, you know, what your agency is, the population you serve, what laws outline your existence, and then you go through and answer the questions about, did you follow all of the laws for financial reporting, and did you report your things on time, and did you follow open meeting laws, and for the library, the only library specific one is, did you meet the regulations of the state library, that sort of thing.
So most of this wasn't even applicable.
A lot of this was not applicable to us, yes.
So you just need a motion for us to approve it the way it's filled out?
As presented, yes.
I believe so.
I have a motion to approve the form as filled out. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, thank you. Okay, the next one is the approve the policy for limiting to printing mailing for patrons, is that it?
Yes. So, we haven't really had something like this in place before, certainly not in terms of policy. And this is primarily precipitated by patrons who are not from our service area that are calling in and requesting this information. And we're happy to provide it. And a lot of times whenever we do get stuff like that, people are just emailing, mostly asking for old obituaries and that sort of stuff. So it's no problem. It gets to be a problem whenever they're wanting a lot of things mailed to them. And my staff is spending the time printing and mailing, and you know, that's time and expense. So I reached out to the other Louisiana libraries, public libraries, and said, you know, do y'all have anything in place? And the state library actually sent me their guidelines for how they handle letters from the incarcerated patrons. And so that's heavily what this is based on, but of course it's not just regarding incarcerated patrons. And I hope you guys went through and read it.
It was very interesting. I didn't know y'all did all that. I would never have thought you would have printed out and mailed things for free, because I can't come in here and make a copy for free.
Well, that's why we want to put these limits on.
But I can stay home and you'll copy it and mail it to me.
Well, we'll email it to you for sure. So yeah, I'd like to put some limits on how much we will print and mail to someone. Definitely have a thing in there about, you know, if I try to mail something to you once and it comes back undeliverable for whatever reason, I'm not mailing anything else to you until you fix what's wrong with your address. Because that's just wasting more time and resources. It's gonna get returned too. So these are the things
that
we...
generous. I mean, yeah, I didn't have any problems with it.
I didn't even know y'all provided this.
It's not as common for people to call in and ask these things of us anymore. It was more common when I was working the reference back in the day. I'm showing my age. But, you know, now people look things up online, or if they do contact us and ask us to find something for them, they just want it emailed to them. And that doesn't cost us anything but time, and it's our job to look for the stuff anyway, so that's not the problem. It's whenever it's people, there's people who, mostly incarcerated people, who will call
and
call.
And
they have tablets, so why
they don't have access to
their own funds.
Apparently this guy doesn't. I don't know.
I would think they'd have some access to, maybe not free, but databases or something.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they have tablets. Mm-hmm. They can text you. They can FaceTime you. Oh, they can go and Google
that.
Or Safari. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then I really don't see any reason that these limits would be
no, not at all
a problem.
No.
In the past, we have had a 10-page leniency. You know, the first 10 pages are free, then you pay after that. We don't do that anymore. So, if I'm going to be sending you stuff, especially over a certain amount, then I think expecting payment before I do it is reasonable.
And I mean, it's bound to be able to set it up just like, I mean, if you, there are places, say you go online and you want a book review or something, mm-hmm. and it's 5 pages and you can't download it until you pay them the $2 or
right,
whatever.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's set up so that you can, there's got to be a way that they can set it up with a little card.
As far as a, I didn't put out the price list, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Right.
But we would charge them the same that we would charge someone who was in here printing. And just the postage is whatever the postage is.
Plus X for mailing, which would be an envelope and a stamp.
And the postage, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have something already online where you can pay your fees and stuff?
No.
Where you can tack this onto that?
No, we do not currently. I want to look into getting PayPal or Venmo or something like that. I think it would be easier for us to set that up than try to do some kind of
a card. Mm-hmm. The cards would charge fees and stuff.
Yeah. But I want to talk more with our auditor about the implications from that side of having such a service before I do it.
Well, and check with a few other libraries to see if they have anything that works well for them.
Yeah.
You know, what I think the clerk of the court has a little system, because I've had to apply to clerks from other parishes for information.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little system. I remember having to pay a dollar or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or you might have a minimum. Maybe you just have a minimum that if you want service period, you know, it's $5, you pick a number, and then and for that you get X number of pages.
I'm curious how much we pay a year just for doing the services.
I have not been tracking.
You know what I mean, like with mailing and paper copies.
Yeah. I have not been tracking it. I have been telling my staff since it started becoming an apparent issue, just mail once a week. To any given person, you know, there's no point sending five envelopes to someone
with one paper.
And they can't believe somebody would ask.
Is there something the parish could help them?
No one asks.
An office of the parish is already getting card,
like online payment sort of thing. I think that would run into some issues since we are fiscally emancipated. We're totally separate from them and as far as that goes.
But you might ask what they use.
Yes,
we could
use
the same thing. If it's PayPal and it works great, we use PayPal or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, as long as I've been there, we charge too. However, I've never been one that collected.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I would think most of these people have an email. Anybody can get a free email now.
You would really be
surprised. A lot of people just won't.
I can see won't.
They may just be trying to get mail, you know.
That's true.
That's true too.
But anyway, I'm pretty sure the clerk of the court would be one to ask too.
Okay.
Because they're constantly sending 2 and 3 pagers, you know, to people.
Yeah. So I'm kind of waffling back and forth. I don't know that this actually needs to be a policy. And if it's not a policy, it doesn't need to go through you guys. Mm-hmm. But I definitely wanted to get your take on this.
I think you ought to do it, but as your
just a procedure, yes.
Yeah, how we'll handle that.
To have something in writing that you can kind of stand on in case someone want to go to KPLC or something. That's the new thing.
People are going to stay off of KPLC.
All right, I'll entertain a motion for this form to be approved.
Which one do you want now?
I'm on the wrong one, but I'm looking at one and saying
we didn't need to approve that.
If we're not going to do a policy, we don't need a motion on the reference limits. So just, we'll call that conversation and we can move on.
All right, next item. That sounds good.
Requisition for materials.
Okay, now we're on the update to the request for reconsideration of materials.
Yes, so we want to update this form in a few ways. The questions themselves, we are updating. They're very similar to what we already have, but we're putting them more in line with what ALA recommends using as far as the wording on those questions. So that's one change. And then you'll also notice towards the top of the form, there's that notice in bold print about items possibly being part of the public records and subject to public records request. I went recently to a workshop from the Legislative Auditor's Office, and they recommended adding this phrase to forms where applicable. Apparently people are putting in a lot more public records requests now. And last year I got a request, a public info request, about any book challenges or materials challenges that the library had received since like 2020 or something like that, a few years. And I talked with the DA's office, and you know, we kind of worked out, because as a library, we want to hold patron confidentiality very, very high up there. That's important to us. So I got with them and I'm like, okay, we've got this public records request. I only had one reconsideration in that time. But my question was, is the patron or whoever is, you know, instigating the request, is their personal identifying information part of that, or can I retract that information? And you know, they said since it seemed immaterial to what they were requesting in the public records request, it was okay to retract it. And they said, you know, if they come back with a question about it or a complaint about it, let them know and we'll look at it further. Never heard any more about it. But it kind of pricked something in my head that, you know,
if somebody requests how to make a bomb, I mean, that's important to, I mean, yeah. Serious.
Right. So,
but our staff said we're not going to give out that information. They'd have to go look for them on their own, right?
That was for people out of our service area requesting that we send them information.
Oh, so it's not,
if they come in and look for it themselves, I don't know that.
Right. No, but
then
if
I don't want to.
And ask your staff to help them do that. They're not going to help them do that, right?
They might. Could be for a report. We don't know that.
Yeah. You have to be careful with that.
Yeah, you have to be very careful with it. But there are a lot of very sensitive and
touchy
topics. Like if somebody comes in and asks for stuff about suicide, you worry about them, but you don't know that they're not writing a report for school or trying to figure out how to help a friend get out of it, or you know, so things like that. I can't make a sweeping statement one way or the other on it. But anyway, back to the point. So those are the changes we're looking at making on this form. And if you would like to see the form we have been using, it's on the opposite side if you want to compare the two.
So if this is a form for somebody that wants to complain about material that we have here.
Something in the collection, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Do we need to approve this?
Yes.
I make a motion that we accept the changes that have been made.
I have a motion to accept the changes for the patron request for reconsideration of the library material.
A second.
Do I have a second? I have a second. All in favor say aye. Opposed? Thank you. All right. I think we are at reports.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So you've got the... I was going to say year-to-date, but we just ran checks today. So it's not quite year-to-date, but very close to year-to-date financial report for this year. We've received our primary ad valorem check. We may receive some more as the year goes on. Sometimes most of the time we receive something. So we may still see the rest of that $167,000 over the course of the year. Haven't gotten a statement from UBS, which is where most of our investments are now as far as interest goes. Last year they performed very well as far as interest goes, so I'm expecting more of the same this year. We just haven't had a statement on it yet.
Might be quarterly.
It could be, yes. So far, we are in good standing on everything. I do want to go back for our next meeting and look at that. Oh, that says personal services. That should say personnel services.
Personal.
Personnel.
I do want to go back and look at that and see if that... That number looks very close to what we spent this year. So I want to go back and double check that. But otherwise, that one is looking good. Let's see. We've also got our monthly report, statistics report. That's the one that has all the lines on it. Still looks like a spreadsheet.
That's and the one that ends up turning into this, right? The monthly report.
Yes,
for public
it does. And this is for December of last year, since that was the last full month we had when I sent the packet out. You can see the electronic items are still out circulating physical items by vast margins. The virtual visits outweigh in-person visits. But we are still seeing, I am happy with where we are as far as foot traffic goes. Not to say we can't improve, and I would like to, but I think we are coming along nicely of coming out of COVID situations. It's pretty common that when I look at the people counter here, the gate that you walk in to get into the main branch, I'm seeing 130, 140 people a day, and that's pretty common. So I'm happy with that. It's not the 250 we were in 2019, 220, 250, but you know, it's also a lot better than the 40 it was when we first opened. So that one's doing well. I'm really happy with, we've got, in December we had 7 outreach events we did and had over 1,000 people at those outreach events. That's an estimate. We don't clicker count at all of those. And when I looked back at this, it took me a second, like, what did we do? Well, we had 2 Christmas festivals we went to. We did Miracle on Washington. We did Christmas Around the Cabin. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we had a lot of people come by our tables at these things. So that's why that number is so high.
And you had the anniversary party.
We had the anniversary party. And off the top of my head, I can't remember what else we did in December,
well,
but we did a lot.
The Maryville Christmas thing, whatever it's called.
Christmas Around the Cabin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we've got 2 pages of circulation numbers.
I was just going to comment, so you have 7 homebound deliveries. This is, so it's catching on.
I think so, and the people.
I was thinking that didn't sound like much, but
it's slowly growing, and we go. Oh, I was talking to the Sunrise Rotary Group last month, and mentioning, you know, the homebound deliveries to them too. So hopefully they'll help spread the word too. But
once they're signed up, have you found they are repeat customers?
Yes.
Yeah, just got to get their foot in the door.
Like,
I've been mentioning it to the people at church that come in wheelchair.
Right. By the way.
Yeah.
So with the Council on Aging, do they know anything? Because she hadn't brought it up in any of the meetings. I sit on their board too.
Well, let's get some more information to them.
Go visit them.
I still want you to visit the Ragley Rec. They do it with the elderly.
I would love to go to them.
You have to email me.
Okay.
And remind me. Because I talked to Melissa and I did talk to Melissa, just never got back with you.
Okay.
To go over that little part. They do a breakfast and coffee, I think it's twice a month.
You know what? You want me to take out the middleman and just call Melissa?
Melissa Smith, yeah.
I can do that.
I can even give you the reg number.
Yeah, Ms. Charlotte Palmer, she's on the board now too.
Ms. Charlotte does it.
Yeah, she's on the board too now, and.
Like, it was all approved for you to come, I just.
Yes.
I think with older folks, we ought to emphasize that there's periodicals that are available too. I think that you might not have book readers, but they'd love to page through periodicals or an old newspaper, you know, that kind of stuff. Because that's a reply I've been getting, because I don't read much. Well, they've got magazines and stuff.
We got magazines, we got DVDs, we got.
Audiobooks.
Audiobooks, if they like stories but don't actually like the reading part of reading.
Or can't see.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then we've got the CERC stats on the next two pages. And looking at. Okay, the one that has it divided out by location. On the right side, it's got the yearly totals. And that is not much for 2022. But then I looked at the digital, the electronic CERCs for 2022 on the next page. And just for 2022, adding those together, I get 3,624,337. So we really have moved more towards digital than even in the year before last. So it's definitely still trending that way.
Well, your West Central has jumped up.
It has.
Your beautiful new building. Except in December.
Yeah, it certainly has. And then we've got the final activities report that just talks about the different educational opportunities we've had for various staff members, any community involvement or outreach we've done, that sort of thing. There's a note on here, I can't talk today, that I am trying to get a quote on putting gutters and some drainage at the West Central location so that we don't have standing water between the two buildings whenever it has a heavy rain. Been waiting on that quote for a while and they haven't gotten back to me, so let me start pushing on that some more. But that is something I want to do. I also, and I don't think this is on the written one, I also, on that back building at West Central, the porch area, it's like open to the rafters at the porch area. And we have issues with little birds trying to nest and making little messes.
Yeah.
So I want to put a ceiling up there, and I'm getting a quote on that as well. The sheriff's deputies want to put a security camera on that porch where people will be entering and exiting for their office. And I have no problem with that. As far as I can tell, since they're doing it, it's their system, and they're providing their own internet for that as well. As far as public records requests or anything, they're not our records, so I can't, and I don't want to access that. I'm sure if I have an issue and ask them, hey, what happened, they'll probably share kind of what they do, but solve the problem. Excuse me, but yeah, so they are interested in putting a camera up there. And there is already power to that area. There are lights. Also want to improve the lighting up there. I'm adding another light.
Exterior.
But.
Motion lights or something.
I don't know if there'll be something. So that's what we're working on for that. We did keep those two billboards that we had up with 75th anniversary stuff. I did pay to keep that with library stuff, but we switched over to Skill Mill promotions on those around the turn of the year. I'm thinking with what is left in the Rotary Grant budget, line item. We need to do our first 1,000 books before kindergarten graduation ceremony. I've only got one graduate, but I need to get the ceremony done. I'm thinking whatever is not used, whatever we don't budget for the ceremony, I'm going to use to just do some more heavy promotion and possibly do a billboard for 1,000 books somewhere in the parish, and do some radio promotions for the program, that sort of thing. So that's my plan for what's left in that budget category. Which kind of took me back to budget whenever we were done with budget. But there was a billboard tie-in, so that's where my mind went. And I think that's all I've got, guys. If that's all, if you have any other questions or anything.
And the next meeting is?
The next meeting is May.
I'm not sure May
what.
We're gonna need one before.
We are gonna need a special meeting.
No, 5:50.
5:50, okay.
Yes, we are going to need a special meeting before April. I don't know the date on that one. I'll have to get back with you. Our next regular meeting is the first Monday in May. No problem.
I wanted to ask you about, you were transitioning out of, it was the software.
Yes, that hasn't happened.
And I wanted to say it was called like Evergreen.
Evergreen, you're right, yes. Which is our ILS, our integrated library system. So it's what we use for check-in, check-out, holding mark records, that sort of thing. We do still want to get out of Evergreen and into something that is more user-friendly and has support somewhere not here.
It's a little jazzier.
We were looking at going to Atrium, which is one we've had previously, and we ran into issues with getting it to play nice with our RFID system. So it's not off the table completely, but we are trying to find similarly priced and equally user-friendly alternatives that will work with our RFID system. So we're still working on that one.
Can the RFID system manufacturer recommend any companies that talk nice with it?
So the program that works with our RFID program was homegrown. So
I thought it was in my heart.
Yeah.
Is it out of date?
We homegrew it.
Mm-hmm. It's not, as I was gonna say, it's how hard is it to get it fixed also when you're switching into both.
Well, what we are needing is very basic. I am not the tech person, so you know, I could be overlooking a whole lot. What we are asking, because it was made to standard. It's not like we just did whatever we wanted. It was, it's an ISO standard. It meets specs. What we're asking the vendor to do to help it talk to them is things like have some kind of unique word, phrase, 3 or 4 set of characters in any window where our RFID would need to send a barcode. So that we can tell the wedge, which is what the RFID looks like, talk to this. So you're not sending barcodes to your email that's open in another window, you know, so it's sending it to the right place. That seems very basic. But we were told, no, we won't do that. So
do they offer customizing services or they don't offer? That's the issue, that they don't offer.
They said they wouldn't do it. Whether or not they don't offer any, I wouldn't say that, but they said they wouldn't do this. So yes, the search continues.
And you wouldn't want to redo that component of it? All right.
If I could redo it, I may, but I do not have that skill set, and the people who do not have the time.
No, I mean, could we hire somebody to
to do the both in one package, can you get, is there a package out there that includes both, that you would talk to?
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
Well, yeah, there may not be a package that already right now, but someone could create one that talks to. So you're.
The other company is not going to let someone into their data. It's gonna have to be someone from their company that does it.
Right.
And they've said no.
And there's not a company that does both together as a package?
Evergreen and Daytrip? No, no. So.
What do other libraries do?
Apparently, they don't use RFID for anything other than security. They don't use it in check-in, check-out, except turn-on, turn-off. But.
Really?
I had no idea until this came up, but apparently that's not common.
You need to invent that then, market it, because that's a really good deal, right? Wow.
Huh. Are you talking Louisiana only, or in other states? There's gotta be somebody that's using it.
That was, and let me qualify that, that is the information we got from, I think it was the Atrium vendor. Might have been some of the others we're talking to see about getting demos and that sort of thing. But of course, if it was the Atrium people, maybe they're just saying that because they don't want to work on it. I don't know. But yeah, I can't wrap my head around what they're using RFID for if it's not what we're using it for.
Unless they have more things, more library things.
I don't know, I just don't know.
Like laptops or?
You can't put an RFID tag on a laptop. You can't put it on metal. Anyway.
Any other items? Anything else for discussion? Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
I have a motion and a second. I hear a unanimous cry of yays.
I sent you the license number and
thank you.
The info for the retirement.
Oh, great.
Like, what day is it?
Yeah.
Needless to say, my granddaughter does want some messages.
She's like, dear, she.